But we will make our way over to Hebrews chapter 13 as we continue to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Hebrews. Overhead, there's some other scriptures that if you'd like to bookmark your Bible, so we'll make our way there prayerfully through this time of study. First Corinthians chapter 10 should be open to. As we always do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless this time in His Word. Father, I just want to come before You in the mighty name of Jesus and ask God that You would just still our hearts and minds. For many of us in this room, we are so busy, so much on our plate, so much weighing us down, that perhaps this is the only time throughout the week that we have to just sit, hear from You, and to rest. And so, Holy Spirit, as we just sang, let Your presence be known here this morning. God, I pray that we would all have open hearts, open ears to receive Your truth, that it would challenge our lifestyles, that it would challenge our very existence, to be more godly, to be more holy, to be more righteous. We thank You for the righteousness of Christ that is clothed for those who believe. But God, we pray, make our lives make a difference for Your kingdom. Bless this time as we study Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In order to arrive at your desired destination, you must have in your possession the proper detailed directions. Would you agree with that? Men, you know, we don't need directions. We can find our way anywhere without a GPS, without any help from anyone else. Specifically our spouses, I imagine. We just have this innate sense about ourselves. And though we may get off track from time or two, but I always like to say, well, we're just going on a journey, seeing a few things. John F. Kennedy said this, effort and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. Again, effort and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. We must have a purpose. We must have a direction that we're pursuing to going in our lives. I wonder this morning, do you have a purpose? Do you have a direction? Do you have a reason for living? Do you have a reason for existing? Is there something that is in your heart that you desire to accomplish in the life that you've been given? See, the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, towards the latter part of the, or actually the end of the chapter in verse 31. Read with me. He kind of wraps up this idea of his thought. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. See, the Apostle Paul had a purpose. He had a direction. He wanted to share the gospel with everybody he ran into. And so he had direction. He had insight. And he knew the plan. He had the instructions at his hand because God had given them to him. But in verse 1 of chapter 11, it's really a continuation of what he said in chapter 10. He says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. I love this verse. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Another translation says it this way, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I would imagine for any Christian that truly wants to make a difference, first and foremost, they have to have their life transformed into a godly existence. We must transform our thinking, our intents of our heart into the things of Christ. We must become Christian that is an example of Christ so that others may look at our lives and follow after us. This is a very powerful statement that the Apostle Paul so boldly and so confidently proclaims to the church at Corinth. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you say that of yourself this morning? Could you boldly stand up and say, follow me because I'm following Jesus? Follow my lifestyle because I'm doing everything in my power to follow after Jesus Christ and the things that he's set up in his word. Follow my example as I follow Christ. Now, we all make mistakes. We all make bad decisions and bad choices. So if we're, the Apostle Paul says, imitate me as I'm acting like Christ. And I would imagine he's also saying, don't follow me or don't imitate me when I'm not imitating Christ. Anybody not imitate Christ from time to time? I can't tell you the number of times I did this week. Moving will definitely challenge your Christianity. Wow, every box I carried out, two more showed up in the house. It's like it never goes away. And I was not acting Christ-like inside. It's like, oh, will this ever end? But see, we must have this desire to imitate Christ. I want you to see this quote by Warren Buffett, a very successful businessman, but very much wise in this statement. He says, it's better to hang out with people better than you. Pick out associates whose behavior is better than yours, and you'll drift in that direction. And I love that. The people that you're sitting next to this morning, the people that you're hanging out with on Friday night and Saturday night, are you drifting in that direction? Because listen, whoever you're hanging out with, you will become like. So the question is, are the people I'm hanging around, are they a positive influence in my life, or are they a negative influence in my life? Not to say that we shouldn't witness to people so that we can bring them to Christ and hang around those that maybe could affect us, but hopefully we're strong enough to make our lives affect theirs. I love this, drifting in that direction, drifting towards them. So I see people in my life. I see people who I know, and I see how they're drifting. I can see those who are growing in Christ, and I can see those who are slipping from Christ. It's a sad thing, but it's a choice that we must make. Who are you hanging around? So finally, as we say goodbye to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we go all the way to Hebrews chapter 13. The question I want to propose to all of us is, what is the desired destination for your life? What is the desired destination for your life? Where are you going? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? Now, you can certainly have short-term plans, but I'm talking more specifically the long-term. What does your life, what do you want your life to be known for when you're no longer here? When 50 years, 100 years from now, someone says your name, what do you want them to remember? What is it? Where is it you're going? What do you want to accomplish before your time on earth is no longer? These are questions we must ask, because if we don't have a purpose, if we don't have a direction, we'll find ourselves wandering. Today we're going to look at three ways that we arrive at my desired destination. Three ways you will be able to apply to your life today to arrive at the destination that you are desiring to accomplish. Read with me, if you will, chapter 13. We're going to, for context, read from verse 1. And this is such a great chapter. Read with me. We've gone over most of this already, but in verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In verse 7, which is our context for today, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, sanctified outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Your attention. Three things. If we're going to arrive at my desired destination, three things, if you're taking note. The first thing I see in verse 7, as we remember those who rule over us, the first thing, if I'm going to arrive at my desired destination, it's going to be by following the faithful. It's by following the faithful. That's the first thing we need to do. Again, talking about the people that we're hanging around, the people that we listen to, perhaps if we listen to teachings in our car or listen to radio stations, those people that are influencing us, we have to follow faithful people. So the writer of Hebrews tells us, remember those who rule over you. To remember means to think about, okay? To think about, but it goes beyond that. It's remember and respond. See, we need to be mindful of others and do something about it. Might be mindful of those who are over us, those who guide us, direct us, lead us, and teach us. Who is teaching you? Who is pouring into you? Who is filling your cup, if you will? Are there some of you here this morning that are feeling dry? Feeling a bit parched? Feeling a bit thirsty? You haven't been fed. You haven't been given the truth of God's word. You haven't been encouraged in the ways of God, in the Spirit of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you're feeling a bit dry. See, remember those who bring you the word, who give you the nourishment. As we remember Jesus saying that one day we're going to drink of a water that would never allow us to thirst again. And out of us would flow torrents of living water. See, in order to share with someone else, you first must be filled. You first must be filled. So to remember those who rule over, well, that seems a little harsh, doesn't it? Nobody rules me. Nobody's over me. No, these words here that he talks about, those who rule over, means to lead you, to guide you, to govern you. See, some would say, oh, this scripture is talking about the pastor. Well, it's the pastor ruling over, leading, guiding, and giving the instructions of the word of God. Because we see that. He says, who have spoken the word of God to you. But more specifically, this verse is speaking about leadership. Leadership not only in the church, but in your life. Who is it in your life that you receive from? Who are those people in your life that are encouraging you in God? Do you have those people in your life? Do you have someone that's speaking the truth to you? See, I put a big star next to my little note here. It says, we need to make sure that we're listening to people that are godly. There's a lot of false teaching out there. So this verse is very, remember those who rule over you. Well, you better make sure that those that are teaching you, those that are instructing you, are teaching you the truth. Because there's a lot of other ministries out there that are teaching false truth and leading people astray. We didn't come up with the word cults for no reason. I mean, they sound right. I'm amazed sometimes when I hear about these things and some of these ministries that people are flocking to, and the perversity and the destruction that they're causing in the name of God breaks my heart. And I know it breaks God's heart. I never intended that for people. Even in this area of scripture, it's like some people are so concerned about the food that they eat. You know? I mean, do you eat meat or only vegetables? I mean, we could have an argument over this. It's not what comes into the body that defiles the body. It's what comes out of the body. And we need to make sure that we're receiving good, godly, biblical advice. See, I can get anybody to sit down with me and agree with my stinking thinking. Just takes a few people that I talk to. Hey, do you agree with me? Yeah, okay, let's chat. And now we're way off course. Or do I want to sit down with someone that's going to challenge me in my faith? That's going to look at my life and go, you're doing good here, you're doing good here, but man, are you messing up right here? I need people like that. You need people like that. That are not willing to say, well, it's none of my business. Listen, I make it your business. You need to make it your business to get in someone's face and say, no, if you're going to truly be calling yourself a Christian, if you're going to confess to be a spirit-filled Christian that believes in the whole Word of God, then your lifestyle needs to better line up with it. It needs to be better. And we got to deal with that. Those who have spoken the Word of God to you, not simply those who give you good advice or give you what you want to hear. See, Paul, the apostle, again, deals with this. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 13. And I love this verse. It's underlined in my Bible and starred in my Bible because it's such a powerful statement that the apostle Paul is making to the church of Thessalonica. And I would pray that this would be something that someone would say about us in our church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because you received, here it is, the word of God which you heard from us. How many people realize that you need to hear the word of God from someone? Someone needs to speak the word of God to you. So this church received the word of God that was spoken to them by Paul and his comrades. That you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. See, my friends, the word of God works in your life if you're a believer. It says, effectively works for those who believe, in those who believe. The word of God cannot affect a non-believer in their life. It works on their life, but it doesn't work in their life. And if we allow the word of God in our hearts and in our lives, it'll cause change. It'll affect change in us. Look at verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God or are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. What I love about the Apostle Paul is not only was he a powerful gospel giver. I don't know the word I'm looking for. Not only did he effectively share the gospel with all he came in contact with, he was sensitive to the Spirit in making sure those that he had already shared the word of God, that he was encouraging them in their faith wherever they were. So he writes this letter, sends it to them. We're thanking God for you because you received the word of God and it's changing your life. And it's so good that we, brethren, though we're not there with you in presence, listen, we're praying for you. Though we're not there and we can't be in your presence and share a meal together and hug each other, man, we're here for you and we're lifting you up. When is the last time you prayed for someone else, for God to do a great and awesome work in their life? Hey, there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. But make sure you're one of those people, those faithful people that is praying for someone else, that's lifting them up, that's thanking God for them, whether they're impacting your life or not. Pray for them, thankful for them. Now, sure, pray for your kids, pray for your spouse, pray for your family. That's great. But we got to pray for our enemies. The writer of Hebrews is saying, make sure you remember those who rule over you. We as Christians need to pray over those who are leading not only our country, but certainly our ministries, certainly our churches. Certainly, I would ask you to pray for myself, assistant pastors, elders, and deacons in this church, the leadership of this church. Pray for us. Remember us in prayer. Ask God to pour His Spirit out on us. Ask God to give us vision and direction. Because I can have a lot of ideas, but I want God's ideas. You hear me? I got a great. I drove in today. I was thinking, man, we should do this at the church. And is that me? Did I just come up with that idea? I want God to honor it. I want God to make sure that He's in it. So pray for us. But here's the thing. I was thinking just this morning as I'm driving in, thinking about this message and the leadership, not only of our church, but guys, I believe with all my heart, there are men and women sitting in here this morning that are called to leadership in this ministry. And I know for some of you are going, well, that's not me. Can't be me. And honestly, in my life, when I said, God, it's not me, God said, yes, it's very much you. He will call those who don't think they're called. You may be called to a position of leadership, and it's our job to encourage you in that. So pre-praying about it, be thinking about it, asking God, is this what you've called me to? Because here's the thing. As the leadership grows, as God pours out His leadership in the ministry, we'll be able to support the ministry a lot better, a lot more effectively. We'll be able to sit down and minister to more people. Because listen, we don't want a huge church. We don't want a big building. We want to impact people's lives. We want to make a difference in your life. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going on, if anyone in this room is going, boy, that church, they're so busy, they don't have time for me. That would break my heart. That would break my heart to think there's someone in this church going, they don't even think about me. They don't even care about me. They don't have time for me. No, no, no. Email the church. Say you want to sit down and talk. I'll talk with you, okay? But there's other men and women in this ministry that are so filled with the Holy Spirit and so much filled with the Word of God that they'll pour into your life as well. Don't be one of those people that just sits there and waits for an opportunity to come. Embrace the opportunity. Pray that God opens a door for you in that way. The disciples were teaching the truth of God's word. That's what we need to teach. We don't need to teach a lot of great ideas. There's a lot of great things. Calvary Chapel, one of our greatest things is where God guides, He provides. There isn't a verse that I can give you that says where God guides, He provides. But biblically, we see where God says, go here, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. It says it right here. When He told Abraham, go to a place I'll show you. He told him to go. He's going to provide. He's going to do that in our lives. We believe that with our hearts, but does it line up with the Word? Because again, there's a lot of ideas out there, but we need to make sure they're biblical ideas. The Apostle Paul and the apostles, they wanted to train up people in that they were strong in the Scriptures, that they were strong in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that they were strong in the Word, that they had a strong relationship to Jesus Christ, and that they were confident in their faith. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted, and it's no different today. I want you to be confident in your faith so that when you're sitting at lunch with a friend who starts saying, well, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, and they start challenging you on your faith, that you can biblically say, this is why I believe. This is exactly why I believe. This is what God has done in my life. And help change. I just sat with someone this morning, real briefly, before I went in to study my notes. And I was talking to them, and they were sitting at lunch with a friend who said they were an atheist. And there was another person sitting there who was a Christian. And they just started spewing verses. Well, you need to read this verse, and you need to read that verse. And listen, I love the Word of God. And I think verses are very powerful. But if they're not presented in a loving, caring way, they are not going to penetrate a hard heart that does not believe. But this person sat there and said, and what I did is I sat there and I explained to them what God is, who God is, why God exists, why I believe God exists. Go back to Hebrews with me. Got to stay on track. Look what it says. Remember those who rule over you. Those who have spoken the word of God to you, make sure it's the word of God. See, here's the thing. Christians are not supposed to be just these sponges that absorb all information. We need to be Christians that study the word, know the word, so that when someone speaks to us, to maybe help us grow and mature in our faith, that we in our minds can go, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. How many times have I heard things go, that is not in the Scriptures. That is not even truth, as much as they think of it. So anyway, those who have spoken truly the Word of God to you, whose faith you must follow. Who's someone you respect, someone that you look at their life and go, I want to follow after them. They're confident in God. Follow after that, considering the outcome of their conduct. You've heard me say this before. I just laugh to myself when someone tells me, oh, so-and-so's either dating someone or so-and-so knows a friend. They're a really strong believer. And I always just laugh to myself. What makes them a strong believer? If you've known them for a week, how do you know how strong of a believer they are? Well, they told me they are. I'm going to tell you I'm a very strong sinner, saved by the strong grace of God. But what makes me a strong Christian, what makes me a strong believer is my lifestyle, is my character, is my the way I respond to things, the way I confess that when I move, I have a lot of turmoil and anger in my heart. You know, I'm being real with people. And so he's saying, listen, follow after them, considering the outcome of their conduct. Watch what their life is producing. Watch the fruit. In order to know that, you got to spend time with them to know the things that are going to happen in their lives. Romans 10:17 overhead says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can tell a strong Christian by their lifestyle, by their actions, and by the things that come out of their mouths, by the things that they say. Is it biblical? Is it line up with God's word? Who is in your life that is setting a godly example for you? If you're children, if you're a child here, man, I hope it's your parents. I hope your parents are setting a godly example for you. Grandparents. I hope you have friends in your life that are setting a godly example for you. Because listen, considering the outcome of their conduct, considering the outcome of their communication, it actually is one translation says, the things that they say. Jesus said, you know, this is homework because we're running a little bit late. I'm running late. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus is talking about you'll know them by their fruit. He's saying a good tree can't produce bad fruit or a bad tree can't produce good fruit. You'll know people by their fruit. If they're fruity, you'll know. Fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. What is fruit? What does that mean? I don't see people walking around with pears and apples. You'll know them by their deeds, by the actions, by the things they do. Now listen, the doing doesn't mean they're saved. The doing shows you that they're saved. You hear me? Their doing shows you that they're saved. Follow faithful people, but the writer of Hebrews gives us a strong warning. I don't know if you noticed it, but it seems a little bit out of context in a sense. Look at verse 8 again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's like, where did that come from? It doesn't really even seem to fit here in the context. He said, remember those who rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the conduct of the outcome of their conduct. Oh, and by the way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's what I believe, because commentators are all over the place on this verse. I truly believe that this verse is kind of a check. Listen, remember the rulers. Remember the ones who teach you. One of those who give you the instruction, but make sure you remember that they're fallible. Make sure you remember that they're fallible. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. Please, please, please do not set leadership on a pedestal as if they're perfect, as if they're in the place of Christ. Because trust me, we're full of holes. We're as unholy as anybody else. We're just saved by the grace of God. And so I believe the writer here is saying, don't make sure you follow people. But make sure Christ is who you follow ultimately. You know, successful ministries can really suffer a lot of damage when the leader sins. Successful ministries can suffer severely when the pastor or the leadership commits awful crimes, terrible sin. Why? Because people put them on a pedestal and put them in a place of perfection. I remember sharing a script in a message years ago, and I shared one of the things that I struggled with. And after service, someone came up to me and they said, Pastor Rob, I can't even picture you doing something like that. I'm like, what? I'm not sinless. I make mistakes just like y'all. I mean, we're just, that's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Our focus has to be on Jesus. So not only if I'm going to arrive at my destination, I'm going to follow the faithful, but number two, by following the immutable. By following the immutable, the unchangeable. That's what Jesus Christ is, the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. Jesus doesn't change, my friends. Jesus' character is the same in the past, today, and you can count on it tomorrow. How many of us struggle with the fact that Christ is going to be the same tomorrow? How many of us worry if Jesus is going to be with us tomorrow, or when we go through that difficult meeting, or when we have to sit down and have that difficult discussion, either with our kids or a friend? How many of us worry, God, are you going to show up? I will never leave you nor forsake you is a promise, and his character doesn't change. Jesus does not change his character. He is who he is. He is who he says he is. And why is this so important? But I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but everything in life changes. You realize that? Everything in life changes. Our bodies change. Our locations change. Our hearts change. I don't know how long you've been married, if you're here this morning and you're married. But if you think about over the years of your marriage, how things have changed. I mean, many of us think, oh man, remember the honeymoon years? Remember the early years, the first 5 years? Wasn't marriage great then? Oh, somebody left. And I can remember those years, and they were great. But you know what? I love my marriage today just as much. It's different. It's changed. We've matured. We've grown. And it's wonderful, but it's different. It changes. But listen, here's the thing. Here's the assurance that I have, that Jesus Christ says, I'm the same yesterday, today, forever. In fact, Revelation 1:8 says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Is, am, was, always will be. Doesn't change. Existed forever. Jesus Christ says, I am. And when we realize that everything around us changes, we need Jesus Christ to be our rock. We need Jesus Christ to be that sounding board, that one we can come to and know every single time he's going to be there for us. Knowing that God is always with me is comforting to me. Knowing that God doesn't change. Knowing that next week, God isn't going to change his grace up. Knowing that he's not going to change his plan of salvation up. Knowing that I'm secure in him brings me amazing comfort. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you ever gone to the hospital and gotten an operation? Isn't it reassuring knowing that the physician that's going to be working on you has done this procedure about a million times? I mean, it's not good to come in, well, I haven't done this one before, but we'll figure it out. Can I get somebody else, please? Somebody else can come in and work? Well, I've done two of these, but those weren't really successful, but I'll get it this time. I'm like, no. But knowing that Jesus Christ is the same, and when I see what he was like in his word, I can know that he's going to be like that tomorrow. What? He's always going to be gracious. He's always going to be caring. He's always going to be loving. But he's also going to be very firm on his truth, isn't he? Very firm on his truth. We cannot take the grace of God for granted. We must respect that. So number one, follow faithful people. Number two, follow the eternal Jesus or the immutable. Finally, we arrive at our destination by following the truthful, by following the truthful. And that's in verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. See, we can certainly get our magnifying glasses or our telescopes out, and we can focus on one thing and just get way off on that. We need to receive and embrace the entire Word of God. It says, don't be carried about by various and strange doctrines. What's the word doctrine? I mean, teachings. That's what that means. Don't be carried away with strange teachings. If your spirit has a check, there's a reason that there's a check there. If I say something that makes you go, what? That doesn't sound right. I'm not infallible. I make mistakes. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us stay in check. And so we must really follow the truth. Follow and make sure it is the truth. The teachings that you are to follow are the teachings of Jesus Christ. the teachings of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:42, at the birth of the new church, after Jesus died and rose again, says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the first thing. In the apostles' teachings. In the things that they learned from Jesus. The Great Commission says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things I have commanded you. It is certainly your responsibility as a Christian to be given the Word of God, to come to church and be encouraged by the Scriptures. But it is also your responsibility to teach others that truth. To teach others that truth. The things you and I have to teach others are the very things that Jesus has taught me. I love when I hear someone tell me, this is the experience I've had with Jesus. This is how this scripture has come alive to me. It helps me experience what they experience. It helps me consider how Christ is working in my life. The teachings. The Judaizers of this day insisted that holiness was connected with examples like ceremonial worship and clean foods, that you couldn't eat certain foods or you were unholy. It's ridiculous. And then we see, right in the middle of this verse, for it is good that the heart be established or strengthened. Established can be strengthened by grace. By grace. Do you know what grace is? Unmerited, unearned favor from God. That's God's grace. You don't qualify for it. You don't do enough good things and now God's going to give you his grace. No, his grace is always available to you. And maybe this morning you need to receive a bit of his grace. See, for your love for Jesus, who died on account of your sins, should motivate you to live for him. That should be your motivation, that Jesus died for you. If we can make one last stop in Titus chapter, which is a few pages to the left, Titus chapter 2. We're going to close right here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Speaking about God's grace to Titus, chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Here it is. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. It's the grace of God in your life that empowers you to share truth. It empowers you to live truth and then share truth. By following the truth, you are leading others. Do you realize that? As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul's saying, follow me as I'm following Christ. Follow the truth that I'm following. And when you follow truth by following the faithful, by following the immutable, and by following the truthful, you're going in a direction that leads you to Christ so that you'll become a stronger Christian. But listen, you've got disciples following you. You've got people following after your life. And so we want to make sure that our lives are lined up to the truth as much as possible so that when people are following us, they're following it. They're also following Jesus. Follow the truth, follow Jesus, and others will follow you. You'll be amazed if you are living the life that Paul is talking, or the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. If you're living this life, people are going to come to you. You're going to find people asking you questions. Why? Because their hearts are hurting. They haven't experienced the total grace of God. And you can sit down with them and you can say, this is how the grace of God has worked in my life. And you can have that too. So follow Christ so that others will follow you to the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that for all of us in this room, that our desired destination is basking in your glory, here and in heaven. One day we'll be in your presence, God, and we can't wait for that day. But before that day comes, God, we pray, help us to walk the walk. Help us to talk the talk. Help us all not to deny the gifts and talents that you have given to us. For your grace is sufficient for us, whatever we're going through. There's no doubt in this room, there's people that are struggling, as well as people that are in a great place with you right now. But your grace is sufficient for both. And so, God, I pray for those who are here that maybe whose hearts are heavy, or maybe they don't really have a destination that they're seeking. Or maybe they're lost, can't find their way. God, I pray they would reach out to another believer who's ready to pray for them, ready to come alongside them, ready to encourage them in the Lord. Because we believe that the trials and the difficulties that you carry us through are preparing us to minister to those who are going to go through the very same thing. So fill us with your Spirit. Bless us, God, we pray as we go from this place. Help us not to forget the truth, to remember those who teach us and lead us, to pray for them, to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus, and to do everything in our powers to seek after biblical, godly truth. We love you, Lord. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.